new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Man, what a shootout last night. It's hard to find a game with more fantasy storylines than what we've got coming out of Cincinnati and Cleveland. 35-30, the Browns get the victory and improve to 1-1. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today on this Friday morning. We are going to give you a start or sit. We got some tough wide receiver matchups to talk about, like Terry McLaurin at Arizona, DK Metcalf against New England, DJ Moore at Tampa Bay, and even the Bills wide receivers at Miami. You may not realize it, but that might be a tough matchup. Good morning, Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Dave, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Adam. I'm doing better than A.J. Green. 13 targets, 3 catches. About half those targets were uncatchable, but it looked like he got credited with 2 drops in the game. One for sure, and then another one in the end zone where a ball hit his hand. He couldn't reel it in. Frustrating, especially on a night where Joe Burrow attempted over 60 passes.
He leads the NFL in almost touchdowns. He is the early leader out of the gate. Jamie, good morning. How are you?
Buy low. Go get A.J. Green now. He's going to be good.
But he kind of like a little hobbled after the first play of the game. Are you worried about him staying healthy?
Don't overspend because there's the injury risk still. But if you get him cheap,
you know, I'll take Christian McCaffrey.
I'll take any receiver getting 13 targets.
You know, I was gonna like do a whole segment on CJ Uzama, but he hurt his Achilles. I think they should just have AJ Green line up as a tight end. Joe Burrow's got this connection with the tight ends going on here.
He's got a connection with everybody when he's throwing 60 times.
Yeah. Since you didn't ask how I'm doing, which is rude, I would like you to know I was having a
like
great
one of
morning.
Our coworkers.
Yeah. I was having this great morning, and then I got the automated email from the Scott Fishbowl. I am losing 88-0. So
in our podcast league, Todd Rones and I, we have Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb. And so last week was frustrating. Last night was great. In another league, I'm playing against Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb. And that sucked.
I'm playing against Mayfield, Burrow, Kareem Hunt, and tight end premium league, CJ Uzama. So
yeah, well, we'll get your sample now.
All right. Yeah, and by the way, I'm starting Peyton Barber, so everything should be fine. Let's talk about...
You can make a trade. Oh, no, you can't.
You can't make a trade. Cleveland 35, Cincinnati 30. Okay, and then obviously we'll get into starter set for the 7 AFC home games. We'll play some Beat the Waiver Wire. I think there are some really exciting wide receivers that are on waivers that are good stashes right now, like the rookies Jalen Reagor and Brandon Ayuk, maybe Alshon Jeffrey and Debo Samuel if they're available. So we'll get into that. But this game, how convinced are you that the Browns' offense is good and that Mayfield and Beckham and Chubb and Hunt and Landry will get going a little bit? Hopefully they didn't throw much. Only I think 23 pass attempts. Yeah, for Mayfield. But I guess Dave, your overall thoughts on the Browns' offense and fantasy managers being able to rely on them.
Well, there's two huge factors here. Number one is Baker, obviously. When he's on, that definitely gives the receivers a better chance to make plays. And then the other thing is the running backs and whether or not they're able to take advantage of the matchup that they're in. When they've got a game against, say, Pittsburgh, that's going to be tough against the run and, you know, smothering cornerbacks and a great pass rush, the Browns aren't going to be very good. But when you put them up against Cincinnati on a short week at home, of course they're going to come out and play well. I didn't think Baker would be, not that he was amazing, but he was really good. He played well, and the running backs just went crazy. And Chubb, you're going to start every week no matter what. I think Hunt, you're probably going to do the same with every week as a number 2 running back.
Well, that's interesting, Jamie, because Kareem Hunt had 10 carries. 8 of them came in the fourth quarter with a lead, and he only had 2 catches. And last week he did have 4 catches, and he had 13 carries. And you know, week one, it was a pretty even split. In fact, more carries for Kareem Hunt. Week two, Nick Chubb was the guy. And until the fourth quarter, it was like, uh-oh, Kareem Hunt, I'm glad he caught that touchdown, but we got a problem here. So yeah, what's your take on the, on these guys?
I think you're going to see, again, we're 2 weeks in, they're still figuring out how they're going to, you know, use these guys. I don't think there's a tried and true plan. You have this many carries in this part of the game. You have this much work in this part of the game. Week one, they were chasing points. You would probably expect that that's more of a Kareem Hunt script. Week two, they're playing with the lead, more of a Nick Chubb script, and then working Kareem Hunt when the defense was tired and he just looked extremely explosive, you know, in the fourth quarter when he was out there doing what he was doing, especially on a Thursday night. Next week's game is going to be telling, because week one, against as good a defense as you will find. Week two, especially without Geno Atkins in there, one of the worst run defenses that you'll find, as we've seen over the first 2 weeks. Look what the Chargers did against them last week with Austin Eckler and Joshua Kelly. So they play Washington. That defensive front is really good. We'll see what Washington's run defense looks like in week two. If they come out of this with a strong performance against Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds, then you guys say, okay, I'm still starting the Browns guys. That's without question. But maybe it's not going to be as easy as it looked. And let's not forget, Conklin didn't play last night. You know, yeah. So that's a big piece of that offensive mm-hmm. line that wasn't out there. So mm-hmm. For them to do what they did is even more impressive. So I think you look at both these guys as starts. I still prefer Chubb in non-PPR. I probably would still start Chubb in PPR, even though he's not catching as many passes. But if you think they're going to win, and again, Washington is playing in Cleveland next week. I think that's right. Yeah, Washington's in Cleveland next week. So home game, they're probably going to be favored. I think you're going to start both these guys and hopefully get quality production.
All right, where does Joe Mixon factor in? How would you rank these three running backs? Mixon with another disappointing day, 16 carries for 46 yards, did have four catches for 40 yards. We can see it. It's clear as day. The offensive line is a big problem for the Bengals. So how would you rank these three running backs rest of season?
I put Mixon third right now, just based on how these guys look. But that's not a knock on Mixon. That's just those other guys are playing really well.
You were going to take Kareem Hunt over Joe Mixon rest of season?
I mean, based on what I've seen the first 2 weeks,
okay,
and looking at this offensive line, you know, it's if he's getting the same amount of work, you know, it's basically that's how it's shaping up. You know, you're talking about under 20 touches. So I think for Mixon right now, he's still a starter. You're not getting, you know, he did this last year.
Well, Mixon's had 20 touches two straight games.
Well, I mean, it's not impressive 20 touches, you know, so
it's 20 touches. He's just not. Yeah, no, he's not. You're right. He did do this last game. With it. He's not doing right.
I like well if there's something you hang your hat on, it's the four catches last night. You know, so the fact that they used him in the passing game like they did, that's something that they have to do to get him going a little bit. But this is a run defense, I think, in Cleveland that we got to give some credit to. This is 2 weeks in a row now where they look really good. They did a great job on Baltimore's running backs last week too.
Yeah.
I would take Mixon ahead of Hunt for the obvious reasons. A, he's getting more work, and B, we did see it last year where he did eventually come around. And I feel like the coaches kind of forgot about how to use him the right way. There were a lot of plays where I thought the offensive line was trying to use like power blocking, and that's just not his style. He needs more targets. He needs more catches. Maybe that happens. Maybe the coaches wise up and say, okay, he's a weapon. Let's use him through the passing game, especially if the offensive line can't do anything. And I would imagine they'll try and find a way to improve that offensive line a little bit as the season goes on. That also happened last year.
Okay. So how would you then rank the four wide receivers in this game rest of season?
You got to put Beckham first.
Hold on.
Green is probably second, mm-hmm. and then Landry and Boyd. I think I'd probably take Boyd ahead of Landry. So I don't know if it really changed very much from where we were in the preseason.
It's just funny because Beckham, obviously, like, he had a good game, but he had six targets and they threw 23 passes, and that kind of stinks. They won.
Had the lead all if game you're, long.
Right. And they have Washington and then Dallas and then the Colts, I think. And so they're going to have to throw a little bit more in some games, obviously, than they did in this game. But it wasn't like an amazing game for Beckham. We're very happy with it.
Well,
if
the touchdown's overturned.
Yeah. And I didn't really think he got in.
It's not a great game.
I don't think he did either.
But you're talking 16 targets, though, through two games. So that's encouraging.
Yeah.
He's the downfield guy because Landry's not going to, especially if he's not 100%. Austin Hooper is more of a blocker than a receiver at this point.
It's ridiculous.
So, you know, you're looking at concentrated targets. You know, so of the 23 pass attempts, six of those go to Beckham. So, you know, that's encouraging.
So how would you, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
Same order,
the rankings?
Same order, okay. As Dave. I think, and just to kind of circle back to Mixon, you're still talking about a rookie quarterback making his second start. They're trying to work through a lot of things here with Cincinnati.
You know, seriously.
So Mixon will be better. And again, saying I'm taking Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt over him right now, that's not a knock on Mixon. That's just looking at those other two guys as playing well. So yep. I just look at it like, you know, another scenario. Like I said, buy low on AJ Green if they're going to let Burrow throw this much, mm-hmm. and buy low on Joe Mixon because this offense is going to start to do a lot of good things as they continue to get better.
And you have to hope that Burrow will start throwing catchable passes to Green. Because like half of the targets yesterday, just
I mean, give AJ Denzel Ward credit. Like, yeah. Denzel Ward was all over him in that game.
Sure, but there were still passes that were several feet ahead of AJ Green.
Yeah, I didn't
some
think
that
I
were like 1 or 2 feet ahead of.
I
AJ
didn't
Green.
Think they were traveling Denzel Ward. I thought Ward played on his side mostly.
Here, I'll tell you what it was. Yeah. I just saw a stat this morning.
Okay, because
I think on 7 of his targets, he was 7 of the 13. He was all over.
Yeah, usually Ward plays to one side.
Yeah, he played. He played on the left side of the defense.
Right. I didn't see him playing right cornerback yesterday, but he might have. I wasn't, you know, intently watching.
I was sort of watching that because Denzel Ward used to be a thing, and we don't really talk about him much. But
no, he's still good.
He's not a shadower. No. Okay. All right. And Burrow is 80% rostered, and he threw 61 times. I'd be interested to see what fantasy managers do with him. And then Baker Mayfield, 66% rostered. Who would you guys rather have rest of season, Burrow or Mayfield? And we'll end with that. Oh no,
Burrow.
Here, this is according to Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN. AJ Green lined up against Denzel Ward for 16 routes. Green got 7 targets of those 16 routes, had 2 receptions for 14 yards with Ward on.
Yeah, that's good. I just don't think obviously he didn't shadow him because he had 13 targets. He had 7 sure. against Denzel Ward. And that's just important to know next time a number one wide receiver faces the Cleveland Browns. Where's that number one wide receiver lineup? If he's not on the right side of the formation, he might not see a lot of Denzel Ward. Maybe well, they Greedy get Williams Greedy Williams
out,
back.
Yep. Greedy Williams was out. Yeah. Kevin Johnson, I think, was out
yep,
too.
He was out.
Right.
Okay.
It's a great bounce back game for the Browns defense.
And Drew Sample. Like it wasn't just this week. It was Uzama's had 2 solid games yep. in a row. In mm-hmm. fact, Uzama, I was getting ready to talk about him because he caught a touchdown in week 16 and 17 of last year. So that's 3 out of 4 games with a touchdown and not a ton of yards. But now Sample gets 9 targets. Are you only looking at him in like a tight end premium league?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Let's move on then. CBS Sports HQ. Is your home for fantasy football news and information, and not just that, ladies and gentlemen. CBS Sports HQ is just outstanding sports coverage. We've got Stanley Cup Finals coming up. We've got the White Sox in the playoffs. Ooh, yeah, Dave. We've got we've got the NBA playoffs. Apparently, the Heat won yesterday. They're up 2-0. That's great. We've got everything's in full swing. Great time to be a sports fan. And if you want to follow it all, just download the CBS Sports HQ app. Or if you have the CBS Sports app on your phone, you can watch from there. But I watch HQ on my Roku all the time. So if you got any type of device like that, put the CBS Sports HQ app on there. Everything's free, 24/7 streaming, highlights, gambling, fantasy talk. And Fantasy Football Today is on from noon to 1 Monday through Friday. And it begins at 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. Just a ton of sports coverage for you. We got our mailbag episode coming up on Saturday. We're going to record it later today. But if you want to leave a nice Apple Podcast review, a 5-star review, and ask a question, you should do it probably Wednesday or Thursday night just so because it takes a little bit of time to show up in Apple. And we record that on Friday. So I don't want to miss your question. And big news on Twitch this weekend, 4 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Twitch, twitch.com/FFToday. The home team watch party for the Chiefs Chargers is presented by Lowe's. We're going to be joined by former players Dante Hall and Sean Merriman to talk about Chiefs Chargers. And then Nando DeFino's coming on to talk fantasy. Dave Richards stopping by. We're basically going to watch football together. 4 p.m. Eastern till the end of the Chiefs Chargers game, essentially, on Twitch, twitch.com/FFToday. All right, let's get into these NFC home games. We did Rams-Eagles yesterday, plus the AFC home games. We'll do the 7 other games today. We have injury updates for you as well. Stat of the week, Christian McCaffrey against the Bucs. 2 games against the Bucs last year. 38 carries for 68 yards and a touchdown. 6 catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Holy cow! And Dave, you stole him as my one of my bad buys for HQ today in DFS. We're, of course, starting McCaffrey in seasonal redraft leagues. But in DFS, are you getting away from Christian McCaffrey?
You gotta. He's the most expensive player on the board. For him to be good, he's got to deliver 30 points in PPR on DraftKings. I don't see it. I think it would be very wise of Carolina to use him as a receiver way more this week than last week. Okay, let Teddy Bridgewater's arm fall off. Let him attempt 60 passes because you're not going to be able to do well running into the teeth of this Tampa Bay defense. So, you know, in that theory, if he gets 10 catches, well, now he only needs to get 20 points otherwise. I still think that's going to be hard for him to do against Tampa Bay.
The Bucs have now gone 7 straight games without allowing 60 rushing yards to a running back. I think he can get there, but we'll see. All right.
I hope so.
Let's talk about wide receivers with tough matchups. Terry McLaurin at Arizona. And looking at all of the tough matchups that he has had last year and this year, Dallas last year with Byron Jones was very good against wide receivers that weren't slot receivers. The Bears, fairly tough. The Patriots, 49ers. Remember that game was in the rain. He only had one catch for 11 yards. It was a weird game. Mm-hmm. The Bills, the Lions with Darius Slay. The Packers have good cornerbacks. Last week against Darius Slay, McLaurin is almost always around the 60 to 70 yard or 50 to 70 yard, probably averaging about 60 to 65 yards. Seems like he's always around there. You got DK Metcalf against New England and maybe Stephon Gilmore. You got DJ Moore at Tampa Bay and maybe Carlton Davis. They just held Michael Thomas to 3 catches for 17 yards. And in their last 6 games, 7 games now, going back to the last year, they've been terrific. Pretty good against Julio Jones twice. Great against Chark. Great against Galladay. Great against Hopkins. Great against Michael Thomas. That's DJ Moore's matchup. And then Miami sneakily has a really good cornerback tandem. Xavien Howard's still getting back to full strength, but Byron Jones is a very good cornerback. In effect, John Brown last year when he faced the Cowboys, Byron Jones' team, I don't know how much he saw of him, but he only had 3 catches for 26 yards. So the Bills wide receivers seem to have a difficult matchup, but I guess we'll learn more about that. But Jamie, I mentioned 4 names. I mentioned McLaurin, Metcalf, Moore, and then I guess I mentioned 2 Bills wide receivers. Are you sitting any of these guys?
Probably not. I mean, you know, John Brown's more of a number 3 receiver, so I don't know if he's a must start guy, but he looked good last week. And, you know, I think I've said this a few times this offseason, like it's going to be fun just watching him run against most second cornerbacks now that Stephon Diggs is going to draw most of the top cornerbacks on his matchups. But I think you look at Metcalf against Gilmore is probably going to be a thing. So mm-hmm. I'd be the most nervous about him. And then probably McLaurin next just because of Patrick Peterson.
Okay. Dave, did you want to weigh in? Like McLaurin, Metcalf, Moore, Bills guys?
I'm okay with McLaurin. I know Peterson's got the reputation. Last year, he allowed a 67% catch rate. That's not necessarily terrible. You see a ton of cornerbacks in the 70% range, but I'm not sure if he was on his A-plus game, and I'm not sure he's going to travel. He didn't travel last week, but he did travel last year. You might assume that he does end up traveling with Terry McLaurin in the game.
Who would he travel with last week? That's the thing.
Yeah, you're probably right, but there were games last year where he did move around, so like I think McLaurin could give him a run for his money. I think McLaurin's a good cornerback. And I think, and even if they don't travel him, Byron Murphy was playing well for Arizona. But I feel like McLaurin's going to get more work. I think Washington's going to, you know, continue to have to throw a ton. So I kind of like McLaurin. Metcalf one-on-one versus Gilmore, you can't feel good about it. I think he's like a super duper flex, and that's about it. And DJ Moore, nervous about him too, but he moves all over the formation and he crosses the field. So that's more about Tampa Bay making sure they wrap him up rather than having one guy follow him around all game long.
Okay. And how about some good wide receiver streamers this week? I came up with 4 names. None of them are rostered in more than 44% of leagues. So in terms of roster percentage, it goes Corey Davis. Was A.J. Brown expected to miss the game with a bone bruise in his knee? Corey Davis against Jacksonville. Russell Gage at Dallas. Dallas awful against slot receivers last year and gave up 100 yards to Robert Woods in week 1. Mm-hmm. Danny Amendola. Well, Scotty Miller is 21% roster. Danny Amendola is 18% roster. Scotty Miller has Carolina, and we're not expecting Chris Godwin to play. I would say he might not play. And Danny Amendola with, I think we're not expecting Galladay to play. He's 18% rostered and had 7 targets and 81 yards last week. So Corey Davis, Russell Gage, Scotty Miller, Danny Amendola, are these interesting wide receivers too? Would you start them any, over any of the guys that we mentioned with tough matchups?
No, but Davis is the most interesting. You know, he's also battling, I think, an injury as well. So keep an eye on his final practice report. But, you know, you saw last week with 8 targets, 7 catches, you know, he was the leading receiver and he looked fantastic. You know, this was the guy they were expecting to see, I think, all of his career. So it's a good matchup. I don't think that they're going to they're not going to throw as much if AJ Brown's not there, and they're not going to have to against Jacksonville. So Ryan Tannehill's not going to be a good starting option if AJ Brown's not out there, but Davis should be the leading receiver. And I'd even in deeper leagues, look at Adam Humphries. You know, he had 7 targets last week, had 6 catches. He didn't do much with it, under 50 yards receiving, but you know, he's going to get probably in that same range of targets. So he's only 3% rostered right now.
Do the Humpty Hump. I like Davis. I like Scott Miller for sure if Chris Godwin is out, because Miller not only can attack downfield, he's a good short area target. And I do think Tampa Bay will use both their tight ends and really all 3 of their tight ends way more if Godwin's not there. But I still feel like Scott Miller, like Brady, I feel like Brady wants to perfect that timing with Miller. Like they missed a little bit last week, but I could see Scott Miller end up having a pretty good game. Nice safe floor of like 12 PPR points.
Okay. Would you start any of those 4? Davis, Miller, Gage, Amendola over, let's say, Darius Slayton against the Bears?
Nope.
No, but I would start all those guys over both Dolphins receivers.
Fair enough. All right, let's do the injuries, news, and notes. Chris Godwin remains in the concussion protocol as he faces Carolina. Kenny Galladay missed practice. Jeffrey Okuda looks like he'll play. And as
he's
Dave
the
said,
Lions' best corner.
Yeah, I was going to say,
for this game.
He said that last night on Twitch.
Got now.
Yeah, that's a game against Green Bay, and that's why Aaron Rodgers has a ton of potential this week. Also, because he's having Aaron Rodgers. Baltimore's backfield's going to be a different rotation each week, according to offensive coordinator Greg Roman. Do you buy that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I do to a certain extent. I think we're going to get, you know, game script is going to be probably how the game, you know, those guys get used, because I don't know how much in crunch time they're going to turn to Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins over Mark Ingram. So if they're chasing points, or in, you know, scenarios where they're just going to use their most trusted running back, it's still going to be Ingram. And even though he played fewer snaps than Dobbins, he had more carries than Dobbins. You know, so it's not like, you know, Dobbins just did a lot with it. He just scored 2 touchdowns. You know, so don't overvalue J.K. Dobbins yet. But you could see the writing on the wall that it's, you know, he's coming. You know, the fact that they did give him the 7 carries in week 1. Gave him the goal line opportunities, but they're still going to play Gus Edwards, which is the most frustrating part of all of it.
Okay. Jamison Crowder missed practice with a hamstring injury. He's not looking great for the Jets against the 49ers. James Conner practiced in full. Uh-oh. Dave, what do we do with the Steelers?
Let's see what happens on Friday, but it sounds to me like Conner's got a real shot to play, and I wonder if the Steelers are going to say, okay, shake it off. Your ankle's fine. You're still our guy. Go out there and do your thing. Because...
Well, can you start either one? If James Conner plays, can you start?
If Conner plays, I think he's the one you start of the two, but you've got to lower expectations for him and view him, even in what looks to be a really nice matchup against Denver. I think you've got to look at him as nothing more than a number 2 fantasy running back, not a top 12 guy, because I think Snell is going to get maybe a little bit more work than he would have if Conner had not gotten hurt in week 1 and if Snell hadn't gone crazy in week 1. But we'll see what happens. It looks like Connor's ready to go, though. So a big sigh of relief for everybody that had James Conner and didn't have Snell. And the window is now open if you have Conner and you don't have Snell. Maybe with Conner coming back and playing, and he should have a decent game against Denver, you can trade for Snell on the cheap, and then you've got yourself covered in case Conner gets hurt again.
Yeah. Or if you have Snell, you can trade him to the James Conner manager and see what you can get, because there might be an overpay there. It just depends on what happens in each individual league. Would you start James Conner or Corey Davis, assuming AJ Brown's out?
Conner.
James Conner or Mark Ingram?
Conner.
The only thing you got to fear with Conner is he rushing back for fear of maybe, you know, the contract situation, not, you know, losing his job, getting Wally pipped. And is he 100%? Because if he takes a shot on the ankle, if he couldn't finish last week's game when he came into it healthy, we know what his track record has been. You know, so hopefully he is 100%. The fact that he practices in full is a good sign.
Forget about a shot to the ankle, a shot anywhere, and he could end up being trouble. Yeah, if he's not on the injury report on Friday and he's a go for the game, I'm looking for the Snell manager in my league and trying to work something out to get him if I have Connor.
The Kansas City Chiefs running backs coach, I don't know how to pronounce his name. Do you? Deland McCullough? I'm going to say Deland. He said this about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The bottom line is, if you follow all the keys we're coached up to do in our room, he scores. So he did put the blame on Clyde Edwards-Helaire for not getting in the end zone, but they're sticking with him in the goal line role for now. He's got to do a better job. And I just thought it was interesting. They were very honest about it. There's some things he needs to work on, some things he needs to correct, but they're going to be patient with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and let's just hope if he gets some goal line work this week, he scores. All right, let's fire through the rest of these. The Chargers center, Mike Pouncey, he's out for the season. He did miss 11 games in 2019. That's a big blow for the Chargers. The Rams are close to extending Robert Woods, which is disappointing for Van Jefferson Dynasty managers, I'd say, because I thought Woods had a chance to maybe not be there next year. A.J. Brown, bone bruise, might miss a couple games. We'll see what the status is there. Corey Davis was limited in practice, but he did practice. Jets running back LaMichael Perine practiced. Maybe he's a sleeper, I don't know, next week or something.
He's a stash candidate.
Okay. Amari Cooper was limited in practice with an ankle injury. Henry Ruggs missed practice with a knee injury. Cortland Sutton is questionable. Philip Lindsay missed practice. Probably not expecting him as of now. Julio Jones was limited with a hamstring injury. Cortland Sutton, Jamie, if he plays, where would you rank him at Pittsburgh?
Number three receiver. You know, still got to make sure that he's 100%. Hope he can do his 10 jumping jacks to make sure that shoulder is okay. But, you know, it's a tough matchup, you know, and it's going to, you know, probably take a little bit of time for him to get the rapport back with Drew Lock in game action. So I wouldn't want to trust him fully, but it's nice to have him back out there if he is able to go.
We're going to do a quick game of Beat the Waiver Wire.
Well, you saw the news from Schefter on Michael Thomas, right?
After the news from Schefter on Michael Thomas. No, what is it?
According to Schefter, he tweeted, despite his high ankle sprain, Michael Thomas felt fantastic at practice Thursday, and there's a little glimmer of hope he can play Monday night.
Okay. So, like, what do you even do with that if you have Michael Thomas? I think you have to start Sunday guys over him, right? Unless you have,
I would imagine Ruggs. We'll have an idea Sunday, you know, based on what, if we're hearing this now, you know, that there's going to be some indication on Friday and Saturday what he does. He'll be probably listed as questionable. But the biggest thing, not necessarily for week two, it's the fact that it doesn't sound like he's going to be out a long time.
Yeah. You know?
So
that's good.
It seems as if there's a glimmer of hope to play this week, hopefully he's back out there no worse than week three.
Okay. All right. Now, Beat the Waiver Wire. There's a potential starting running back that is rostered in 15% of leagues. His name is Miles Gaskin. Not the worst player to put on your bench. 15% rostered. And you got Jalen Reagor. You got Alshon Jeffrey. Jeffrey's not playing this week. Reagor is. He gets the Bengals next week. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. They're both at the Giants next week. Samuel won't play, though. But these are just players to stash. Ayuk's only 36% rostered. Mike Williams has Carolina next week. He's 45% rostered. Corey Davis is at Minnesota. I mean, that's a good opportunity for Corey Davis if A.J. Brown is still out next week. I like the Eagles DST against the Bengals and the Colts. Pardon me. Against the Jets. All right. I don't know what's going on here. All right.
I do. You're dying.
Start-o-meter. The last three games we're going to talk about today are Dallas, Atlanta. It's a pretty easy game. Start a lot of players there. Miami, Buffalo. It's a pretty easy game. Don't start too many players there. And Arizona, Washington. I think you more or less know what to do there. But start-o-meter for these three games. Michael Gallup against Atlanta.
Eight.
CeeDee Lamb.
Six.
Seven.
Wow. Okay. Todd Gurley.
Eight.
Six point seven five.
I was a little surprised that he wasn't a top 12 guy for you. He's more like 15 to 18 or something like that.
Yeah, it's the same story for him every week. He's got to score in order to have a chance to even have a good game.
Mm-hmm. Devin Singletary at Miami.
Five.
Six.
Zach Moss at Miami.
Four.
Five.
Okay, so you guys like Singletary better than Moss?
Slightly.
Moss got 89% of the red zone work last week.
Frank Gore.
Preston Williams against Buffalo. Sit Preston Williams. Miami running backs. Sit Miami running backs, right? Sit all Dolphins.
Sit who?
All Dolphins.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. I bet the Dolphins wish they could do that.
Snowflake the
Dolphins. I wonder if Fitzpatrick has a bad half if they make the switch. I'd be surprised if it did, but he didn't look
good. We've seen Tua come in at halftime before.
Yeah, good point. Antonio Gibson at Arizona.
Five in PPR, three in non.
I'm so interested to see, like, if we think eventually he, I don't know if we do, but if we think eventually he's going to take over, like, it could be this week. Peyton Barber is just like the most.
Yeah, but they like,
you know,
they like what they can get out of
him. Oh, great. Yeah. I love 1.7 yards per carry, which, by the way, is like the
norm
for him.
Physicality. They love that he's a powerful runner.
Gibson's physical. Gibson's big.
He's big, but I don't know if he's a physical runner.
I guess I don't know that.
I don't even know how good of a rusher he is. He's okay. He averaged 4 yards per carry last week.
I'm telling you, he's better than Peyton Barber.
He's probably better than Peyton Barber.
Very confident saying that.
I don't know how they thought Peyton Barber was better than Adrian Peterson, though.
Yeah.
It's not about that, though. It's about, it's his first NFL game as a running back. He didn't have any preseason action. It's going to take some time.
But yeah, my point is he's a sleeper. He's a roster sleeper. He's not a week two sleeper, Antonio Gibson.
No,
but
right. We're not talking about
getting somebody's
rid of Antonio
frustrated.
Gibson.
Go trade for him now.
Yeah. Peyton Barber, 0-10 on the stardometer.
Negative six.
Negative shoe.
Logan Thomas at Arizona.
Six.
Christian Kirk against Washington.
Two.
Four.
All right, guys, we're going to get into the games a little bit later than we usually do, so we might have to pick up the pace. But here we go. The Patriots are at Seattle, and they are making their first road trip to the West Coast since 2017. That's kind of strange. Stat of the game, looking at, like, great quarterbacks against the Patriots the last two seasons, there's been some really good ones and some really bad ones. You've had Deshaun Watson, Ben Roethlisberger twice. If you count Roethlisberger in week one last year, Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, 15 or fewer fantasy points and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Those are bad games. You've also had Mahomes and Luck score 28 or more. You've had Mahomes score 30 on a separate occasion. Lamar Jackson, 30. Deshaun Watson, 33. So how many fantasy points are you thinking for Russell Wilson this week in a 6 point per passing touchdown league?
25.
More.
Okay. So start him up. Not too concerned.
No.
All right. I guess we'll stick with the Seattle Seahawks then. It seemed like Nick Chubb kind of established himself as the number one running back in a timeshare in Cleveland. Do you think the same thing happens with Chris Carson? They had basically the same amount of carries last week, Carson and Hyde. What's your feel for this? Will Carson come out of this looking like, oh, okay, it's his backfield?
It should. You hope it would. You know, after how the game unfolded in week one, you don't want to hang your hat on him catching passes like that, especially finding the end zone like that. So I think the hope would be is that 2-1 split, you know, in terms of the carries, you know, that would be nice to see. But I think Pete Carroll is going to lean on Carlos Hyde more than we expect and more than we hope and more than we want to see. And it's going to be a little frustrating. So you're not benching Chris Carson, but I don't know if he's a great DFS play, especially against a good defense.
Carson played 45% of the snaps last week. That's not great. And that doesn't mean that Carlos Hyde played 55 because he didn't. He only played 34% of the snaps. And Travis Homer, who we haven't talked about in forever, had 21% of the snaps. They were using three guys. I can't help but think that Homer got most of his work late. I can't confirm that. I didn't watch in detail the game. If this is a competitive game and if the Seahawks end up either trailing or, you know, up 3 points in the fourth quarter, I think you'll still see more of Carson than Hyde. Hyde might be their finisher. He might be the guy that just grinds down the clock in the second half.
Okay, so I'm a little surprised that you guys have Carson just slightly ahead of Todd Gurley, but I take that as a vote of confidence for Chris Carson.
And he catches passes. We think he'll catch passes.
I'm also trying to look up Travis Homer had a carry on their second to last drive of the game. Yeah, look, Travis Homer's not a factor.
Good for Travis. Well, the problem is that he's taking some playing time away from the other.
Barely. But okay.
21% isn't that much.
Chris Carson or James Conner?
Carson.
Chris Carson or DK Metcalf?
Carson.
All right. Look at the Seattle wide receivers. Tyler Lockett, must start.
Love him.
Yeah, must start. Absolutely.
Okay. And so Metcalf, would you start Malcolm Brown over DK Metcalf?
In non-PPR, yes.
Really? Wow. All right. So you think...
I thought you said Marquise Brown. I would start DK Metcalf over Brown in both. I don't like Malcolm Brown that much this week.
How about Nyheim Hines or DK Metcalf?
Hines in both.
Hines in PPR.
How about DK Metcalf or Darius Slayton?
I think I have Metcalf ranked higher.
Metcalf by like one or two spots.
Okay. Works for me. And then Seattle tight end. Any interest? Greg Olsen caught a touchdown last week.
No, but it wouldn't surprise me if he plays well.
You know what? The thing is, the Patriots really did lose a lot on defense, and they weren't really tested in week one. So I think it'll be a really interesting litmus test to see what they've got. Offensively for them, how do you feel about Cam Newton this week? Jamie, you've got him 11th. I'll check the updated.
He's not in my top 12.
Looks like 16th for Dave, 11th for Jamie, 12th for Heath. Okay. Well, tell me about that, Dave. 16th for Cam.
Seattle's familiar with him. The offense that he's running in New England is the same thing that he ran in Carolina. And he's had terrible games against the Seahawks in his career, except for once. And that was in 2018 when he had Christian McCaffrey and he used McCaffrey as a big time weapon out of the backfield. We're talking like over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown for Christian McCaffrey. And he doesn't have that this week. And I guess I'm just not sold yet on Cam Newton, the passer. I know his completion rate was good against Miami, but I don't think he's going to be this huge stat producer on the ground. I'm not counting on him for two rushing touchdowns each week. I'm not counting on him for 15 carries every week. So he's going to have to just keep it to me to feel confident to start him, especially what I think is a difficult matchup, not an impossible matchup, but certainly a secondary that matches up well with the Patriots pass catchers.
Okay. And Jamie, you have him 11th. So you're more optimistic about Cam Newton.
100%. I mean, anytime you can get a running quarterback that has an opportunity to increase his production as a passer, because that's definitely going to happen. He's not throwing 20 times in this game. And so there's a higher ceiling that he can get to as a thrower. And you got to hope that the floor is still there as a runner. So what we typically see from Cam when he's right is around 40 yards rushing, and he's always a chance to score. So if he's going to give you that opportunity against a Seattle defense, that's dramatically different than the ones that he faced the last time he played them.
That's true.
I do think this is going to be a great game for James White. I like him a lot in this matchup. His production, typically, you talked about Tariq Cohen, I think off the air, about what he does in wins and losses. James White on the road versus James White at home. Last year, he scored 6 touchdowns. 5 of them came on the road. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to see a scenario where he is a huge factor in this game. So I like James White a lot. I think Cam's going to run enough. I think he's going to have success throwing in this game. I hope it's a back and forth type of game. You know, I want to see the Seattle offense put up some points because clearly of all the options that they have. But I think you're going to see New England have to put up some points as well. But even in a grinded out type of game, that's going to favor Cam. You know, he likes those type of games. It's kind of the way that he ran in Carolina too. So he'll be able to run. He'll throw enough. He may not have a 28-30 point game, but I think he's going to be in the low 20s and an easy guy to start. Whenever you get these running quarterbacks, you should lean on them as much as you possibly can. I'm starting him easily over Deshaun Watson this week.
Okay. Are you guys starting any New England running backs other than apparently Jamie likes James White?
White's the only one.
Yeah. I mean, you got lucky with Sony Michel finding the end zone last week. You know, 10 carries for 37 yards doesn't work in the passing game. They're going to use Rex Burkhead. They're going to use JJ Taylor. When Damian Harris comes back, it's going to be even more of a mess. James White is the only one right now, and maybe the only one all season that should be started and maybe even rostered.
Would you start
Damian Harris,
DK Metcalf, or Julian Edelman?
Bill Metcalf.
You guys,
especially in non-PPR.
Like, I'm hopeful for Edelman just because I'm hopeful that Cam's got to throw at least 30 times, and maybe that could be 7 for 70 or something like that for Edelman. Mm-hmm. You know, because he obviously is their best wide receiver. He had 5 catches for 57 yards on 7 targets against the Dolphins. So, okay, you guys have him as like a number 4 in non-PPR and number 3 in PPR. James White or Julian Edelman?
James White.
I'll take Edelman in full PPR.
And you guys sit in the DSTs. Yeah. So Patriots DST is just not a. We want to. I want to see it first. I think we all do against a great team like New England, or like Seattle. Great offense like Seattle's. So not a week for the DSTs. All
it's right. It's the front seven for New England that people have questions about. It's not the secondary. Their secondary is good,
But it doesn't have Patrick Chung, which is a big deal. But
yeah,
it's good.
But I mean, any safety can cover Greg Olsen these days.
Yeah. Detroit at Green Bay. Okay, here's your stat of the game. I'm here to give old man Peterson some love. He is rostered in 66% of leagues. Now, this the difficult stat because like you don't know what his workload's going to be. But in 2019, with 14 or more carries, he had 9 games with 13 or more carries, pardon me. And he averaged 10.7 non-PPR fantasy points in 9 games with 13 or more carries. That's Adrian Peterson. And of course, he had 14 carries in week 1, and he scored 11 non-PPR fantasy points. So that's what he does. So we poo-poo Adrian Peterson all the time, yet we were gung-ho on Benny Snell. Benny Snell had 5 games with 16 or more carries, and he averaged 9.2 fantasy points in non-PPR compared to 10.7 for Adrian Peterson when he had 13 or more carries. Peterson produces when he gets work. We might not want to accept it, but it happens. The Packers' run defense was really bad last year. Did not get off to a good start against the Vikings in week 1. Okay, that's your stat of the game. Tell me, are you interested in any Detroit Lions running back?
Swift Peterson. More so than Peterson.
I'll take Peterson over Swift. For
non-PPR, this is going to be game script. And Swift played more than Peterson last week in a game that they were winning. And so they're only going to continue to work him up more. Peterson is going to be game scripted out of this one because even though he had catches last week, I don't care. We've seen this time and time again as he's gotten older. Great game when he's rested. Following game, he stinks.
No, that was week one. That wasn't true last year.
He was great.
It might
last
have been
year.
True in the second half of last year.
I'm looking at his game several. Log. Like he was never great, really. But he wasn't.
And it's not going to be great this week either. Okay, but he'll be serviceable.
Yeah, don't fall for
PPR.
That.
PPR. Yeah, if you're looking for 7 or 8 non PPR points, he can get you there.
I'd take the under.
All right. Fair. I mean, look, I'm not starting him, but I just thought it was really interesting that he has been more productive than we give him credit for. You just don't know what the workload's going to be like because of Swift. Okay, but look, those guys
and
aren't carry great on. Starts.
You can't forget about him sucking for, 10 touches a game. I don't know why they using him. But
he was limited. Well, I think he's probably a better player than Peterson. I would hope anyway. He was limited
last week.
No, he was coming back from an injury, the surgery. Okay, shocker. Anyway. Rest of the Lions. Starter sit Matthew Stafford.
Sit, if Galladay's out.
Yep. Okay.
Marvin Jones. And Danny Amendola.
Number 3 receiver.
Amendola is a desperation play in deep PPR. Marvin, number 3, like Jamie.
Yeah, Heath has Marvin Jones in his top 20, so I'm just wondering.
He loves Marvin Jones.
Well, he does, but look, he got 8 targets last week in a close game. If you think the Packers are going to put up a lot of points, isn't that good for Marvin Jones? Shouldn't it be higher than, you guys have him like 30th?
A lot of good receivers this week. And Jones, this is one of those weeks where he could flash and have a great game. And then, we know the story. You run to start him and he lets you down. So I don't have a problem starting Marvin Jones if he's your second best receiver, but I would hope he's not your second best receiver. He's a good replacement for Galladay, but they targeted Quinn Cephas 10 times.
Yeah, they sure did. And that didn't go well. TJ Hockenson rostered in 79% of leagues, top 10 for Jamie and Heath, 14th for Dave. Are you low on Hockenson or just there a lot of tight ends you like?
It's both. It's not that I think Hockenson stinks by any stretch. Just I think that the Packers are going to try and do a good job to take him away in the short and mid-range and red zone because that's something the Bears just did not do a good enough job of last week.
Okay, and all these rankings of like Jones and Hockenson, this is without Kenny Galladay. Things would change if Galladay plays. Aaron Rodgers, 6th for Jamie, 3rd for Dave, 10th for Heath. Lions secondary is really bad. And, Rodgers only had 6 games with 20 or more fantasy points last year, and 2 of them were against Detroit. And things are looking up there. Okay.
Get him, start him, and then trade him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's another matchup where the pass rush isn't going to be that bad, and the secondary is going to be terrible, and his receivers should make plays.
All right. We're going to start Aaron Jones. That's an obvious one. Let's talk about MVS and Alan Lazard. Would you start either of them over Marvin Jones?
No.
I think you can make the case for Lazard. That's how good the matchup is for the Packers.
I am trying to make the case to start MVS over Zach Moss. Would you guys do that?
Yeah.
No.
Over Zach Moss? Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit of a Hail Mary.
I will take that. I will take that boom or bust chance right. over Moss. You know, does he find the end zone and get 40 yards on top of it?
Road favorite, going back to his hometown, Zach Moss is going to score this week.
Okay. Yeah, he scored last week and he still was in the single digits.
That's a good run defense he went up against. This is not going to be the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm excited about the Packers wide receivers. That's the other side of it.
MVS had a great game, but I mean, you know, it's this is the week that he busts and you get frustrated by it.
He had a good game. He had two drops in that game. He could have had a monster game, yep. and then you wouldn't even be questioning MVS. So yeah, look, you're hoping that he comes down with one or two deep balls and, you know, a couple of screen passes or slants or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And he's only 25% rostered. So
now DFS, he's a great play.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Except everybody's going to be on him. He'll be popular because he was good last week.
And the Packers, Packers DST is top 12. In fact, fourth for Dave, 10th for Jamie, 11th for Heath. So you can go ahead and get the Packers DST in your lineup. All right, the Giants are at the Bears. Your stat of the game. In his career, Tariq Cohen has averaged 3.4 catches per game in wins, 5 catches per game in losses, and about 9 more receiving yards per game in losses. And he's got about the same amount of wins and losses in his career. So do you think the Bears win this game?
Yes. They're 5.5-point favorites.
Oh, let's talk some trash, Dave. My team versus your team, dude.
This isn't my team, but I'll play the role of Chicagoan for you. My terrible team is better than your terrible team, and we'll both be drafting in the top 15 picks in the NFL draft.
Yeah, but we got a better quarterback, but maybe not.
We're
going to
have a better
game.
Head coach next year because we're going to fire our coach and GM and replace him with somebody underwhelming from the CFL or something.
Yeah, but my coach would make us start this podcast over if we didn't do it right. So
my baseball team's in the playoffs. Where's yours?
Firmly in the playoffs. I would
win
six in a row. All right. So anyway, Tariq Cohen is these two running backs are interesting, Montgomery and Cohen. Jamie, how are you approaching the Bears running backs?
I like Montgomery. I think, you know, anytime they have a chance to play with the lead, you're going to, you know, see him get more work. I think that's going to be the case this week. The Giants run defense was not as good as advertised by some last week against the Steelers. And so, you know, Montgomery, I forget what the next gen stat that I saw, but I think most created opportunities for rushing yards was by the Bears last week, if I'm saying that correctly. If not, I apologize. But, you know, I was surprised he ran well, you know, for a guy coming off of a groin injury that we weren't expecting to play. So I don't mind. He's not a slam dunk by any stretch, but, you know, low end starter in both formats, better in non-PPR than PPR.
He would have had a touchdown catch if Trubisky had thrown a ball just a little bit higher. It was knocked down by a defender.
Said that?
Yeah, I know.
No wonder.
I think that's the Bear that people should get.
Oh, for sure.
Excited about, and I think he's the DFS play that everybody should use.
Yeah, Robinson is a squeaky wheel game coming.
A-Rob could have a 2-touchdown game.
Would you start Montgomery or Cohen in PPR?
Montgomery.
I'd still start Montgomery, but it's close. I mean, obviously, anytime you're going to factor in PPR, Cohen's going to get a little bit more of a win. And he's also talking. He said he had some quote like he wants to run over people.
Good luck.
I read it quickly. And when I say the word, you're going to understand what I inferred. He said something to the effect of, "You all think of me as a shifty back." And I was like, whoa.
It's not really my opinion. It's a fact. The Giants had a very good run defense last year after they traded for Leonard Williams.
Did I say you?
No, but you were implying it, and that's fine. I did go out on a limb. I said they had a great run defense, and I expected them to have one, and they were great against James Conner. They got worn down, I think, last week. So I'm not sure if it's a good matchup. Things change year to year.
We know their secondary isn't very good.
But we also, you know, I was reading that the Bears offensive line actually played pretty well last week.
They did better than they did last year.
We do know the Giants secondary is an issue. We saw what Ben Roethlisberger and Juju and Deontay Johnson did, and James Washington caught a touchdown. And what do you think about the Bears passing game? I mean, Trubisky, honestly, you look at last year, he scored 20 points against the Giants. He usually came through in good matchups. He had some good matchups, and he actually played pretty well. and he had a good matchup in week one, and he played. He put up fantasy points. Let's put up fantasy points.
He had three really bad quarters, and then he finally got into a rhythm in the fourth quarter and was nails.
He was
off target on a ton of passes. And you got to be nervous if you're starting Mitchell Trubisky. I get it in a two quarterback league or using him as a super flex. That's okay. That's fine. The matchup's good. And the pass rush from the Giants shouldn't be on him too bad. So I think he can come through with like a 18 to 21 point game somewhere in that range, maybe a little bit better, but I'm not starting him over like Cam. I'm not a big fan of Cam. I'm easily starting Cam ahead of Trubisky.
Yeah,
I'm starting Minshew and Tannehill too.
The only named guy for me I'd start him over would be Stafford, you know, of the guys who are drafted as potential starters.
Who's the second best wide receiver in this game behind Allen Robinson?
Slayton.
I agree.
Ahead of Anthony Miller?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Evan Ingram, you guys have him top seven. There are some interesting tight ends. I mean, Jonnu's obviously got a great opportunity. Jared Cook has a big opportunity unless Thomas plays, but even then he probably has a good opportunity in a revenge game. You know, we like Dallas Goedert a lot. So I was surprised to see Ingram was ahead of most of those guys, if not all of them.
I think they go right back to him. Yeah. I think the matchup is better. Obviously, it's better. He's not taking on the stinking Steelers. He's got Chicago's linebackers, which are good athletic guys in coverage, but Ingram's just more so. And I think the Giants are going to have to continue to throw the ball in a play from behind effort.
Sit Daniel Jones. Right.
Don't feel great about Jones. I almost feel the same way. I feel better about Trubisky than I do Jones, but they're kind of in that same boat of guys that are fine as a number two quarterback. He's my number two quarterback this week in Scott Fishbowl.
It wouldn't surprise me if Daniel Jones had a good game, but I don't want to trust it.
Yeah, I mean, he scored 21 against the Steelers. And
he's like Trubisky too. He'll make great throw. Now he's, you know, lobbing a ball right into the hands of the other team.
Yeah,
in the end zone.
Right. He turns the ball over. Trubisky makes horrible throws. It's like, oh, and I mean, he's such a bad quarterback. I'm sorry.
These guys were both top six picks in the NFL draft.
I'm not feeling that. He's not in Trubisky territory yet, but
no way.
Okay. Sorry. Jimmy Graham, any interest?
I mean, if you're desperate, you know, there's probably some people in 14 and 16 team leagues that were starting Blake Jarwin. You know, so he was second on the team in targets. His red zone opportunities were there. Should have had two touchdowns. He's not going to be a volume guy, but, you know, he'll be one of these touchdown or bust type of tight ends. And, you know, if he scores, you'll be okay with it.
Logan Thomas or Jimmy Graham?
Logo.
Logan Thomas or Rob Gronkowski?
Logan Thomas.
All right.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard's a sit, right?
I don't know how you can feel great about him. He's got that 10 to 12 PPR point floor.
And the Bears DST is going to be very good. All right, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Speaking of Rob Gronkowski. You know what? Like, I think you guys have Howard ranked ahead of Gronkowski, don't you?
I do.
Yep.
I have to make that decision in our podcast league. Ugh.
Yeah, both?
I do have both.
I think both could be good, but OJ Howard is the one that can get you the yardage. And that's contingent on Godwin being out.
So, Tom Brady, like, how high do you have Tom Brady ranked?
I don't think I have him ranked high enough. And he's in my top 10.
He's got top seven upside. If Godwin plays, he's closer to 10 if Godwin's out. But, I mean, this is the squeaky wheel game coming for him.
And it's such a bad looking secondary in Carolina. What do you think about Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette this week? Would you compare your favorite Bucs running back, whoever that might be, to David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen?
I have Jones and Montgomery ranked in a similar spot. You know, I think Jones is probably a little bit safer in PPR just given the nature of how he plays compared to the nature of how Montgomery typically plays. But in non-PPR, I think Montgomery's a little bit safer. This is a wild card game for Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette because the matchup is great. They're at home. Leonard Fournette's now 2 weeks into their, you know, system. He played a little bit last week, enough to get his feet wet. So they're, you know, comfortable probably with what he's capable of doing. But you would assume that Jones is still going to be the guy early. And if he gets off to a good start, why would he not stay on the field? So I would start Ronald Jones over Leonard Fournette if I had both. I think Jones is a good flex at worst. You know, if you have him on your team, he's a number two running back, but you probably have some different options that are better than him. But I think you should be mildly encouraged by Ronald Jones with the workload that he got in week one, the way that he played in the second half. I thought he was much better in the second half than the first half. And so favorable game, home favorite. You know, I think you're going to see him get, you know, enough opportunities to be successful. But Fournette, you want to keep an eye on, because if he has a good game, then it's going to be a problem.
And if Ronald Jones makes a mistake, Fournette's going to be the one on the field, and we don't know when that mistake will come. And I have a harder time trusting Ronald Jones, knowing that Leonard Fournette is right there waiting to take all that work away from him. And it could, if it's the first quarter and he blows a pass protection, Arians is going to get him out of there. And now it's Fournette's turn, and Fournette runs off with it. Or it could be LeSean.
Man, you guys have no faith in him. It's crazy.
I did see something. Their running backs coach, I think, was meeting with the media, and he said, "We have faith in Fournette. We have faith in Rojo. We have faith in McCoy." Or maybe it was McCoy over Rojo, and people were starting to read into the list, you know, and how he listed the names, you know. So, you know, people are looking at different things, which are funny. But I still think, you know, Ronald Jones is the number two running back this week.
Is Ronald Jones a better flex than Scott Miller if Chris Godwin's out?
I still feel more comfortable with his touches in a favorable matchup. Yes.
In non-PPR, yes. Half PPR, yes. Full PPR, no.
How about Ronald Jones or Robbie Anderson? How do you feel about Robbie Anderson?
It's a tough matchup.
It is tough.
It might be.
I really like the target share from last week, though.
But it's been the number two. Like, I mentioned all those stats about DJ Moore and all the number one wide receivers that the Bucs shut down late in the year, but the number two wide receivers did very well. But I don't know if that'll carry
over. Davis travel inside, though. That's the thing.
But well, that's what's
I don't even know if they're going to do a lot of traveling. I think they're just going to play what they play and have the pass rush go nuts.
No, they travel Carlton Davis. He sticks last on week. Number one, apparently. Yeah, he sticks on number one guys.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Emmanuel Sanders caught a touchdown last week, and Michael Thomas was horrible, but Sanders didn't do much. I don't know that the number two guys are going to carry over like they did last year being good, because everybody's a year older, and they've got really good cornerbacks, a very good defense, and a good pass rush. So it's a little nerve-wracking. Yeah.
So, like, you're going to downgrade all these guys. Like, DJ Moore, I don't think he's any better than a number two wide receiver this week, even in full PPR. And Anderson is a flex at best.
Did you rank Ian Thomas?
No.
Not highly.
Okay. This team bad against tight ends last year, bad in week one, but fair enough. All right, moving on to Buffalo and Miami. Your stat of the game was about Zach Moss, 89% of the red zone work in week one, and he caught a touchdown. So how do you feel about Singletary and Moss?
I think they're both good flex options. You know, unfortunately, they're going to take work away from each other, but they're both South Florida kids coming back home.
That's true.
Look at that. Love it. Yeah.
Singletary is the better flex, especially in PPR.
Ronald Jones or Singletary?
I would play Ronald Jones over both, but it's both.
Yeah. It is close.
Again, Corey Davis or Singletary?
NFL action. Right. He's only going to get better. And the Jets run defense. You want to talk about a good run defense from New York. The Jets run defense is better than the Giants run defense.
Do you know who the Giants defensive tackles are?
Do you know who the Jets defensive coach is?
And their defensive tackles aren't bad either.
Yeah, you know what? You don't have to tell me Quinn that. Williams. I've been the one saying it every year that the Jets have a good run defense. So it's like, oh, it's playing the Jets. The Jets stuck. Always have a good run defense. But their best defensive tackle from last year is now on the Giants.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Are they trading Quinnen Williams?
No.
Leonard Williams is really good.
I know he's talking about.
He is. I thought the Bills' offensive line did not do a good job last week. Maybe it's just because of who they were playing, but I thought they were getting pushed around.
I hope that offensive line does as poorly this week and Josh Allen does what he does again.
Yeah. It should be worth noting, by the way, that two like stud linebackers for the Bills got hurt last week. I don't know what their status is. Do you?
Micah Hyde got hurt last week too.
Matt Milano got hurt. Who the heck got hurt?
Tremaine Edmonds got hurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
They both got hurt. I don't think it's going to make you all that confident in the Dolphins, but like those are some key players there. So who are the best, like rank all the wide receivers and running backs in this game? Is Diggs number one?
Diggs would be number one.
Brown two, Parker three if he plays, Williams four.
What I'm sorry, now, what's the deal with John Brown? Sorry, what about with Singletary and Moss in there?
Oh, all of the players in this game?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Diggs one, Singletary two, Moss three, Brown four, Okay. Andre Reed, 5.
Okay.
Where is Eric Molds?
John Brown had a foot injury, but practiced in full.
Yeah, so did Tremaine Edwards. Edwards was limited. He was wearing the non-contact jersey.
Okay. No, that's good. I wanted to know how you'd rank the Bills, basically the Bills wide receivers versus the Bills running backs in this game.
Yeah, Diggs is their best skill player. Then the two running backs, just based on how many touches that they'll get. Brown is, you know, I think we just undervalued him too much based on what he's going to potentially do if Allen continues to throw like this. So he's going to be erratic. He's not going to be consistent. But John Brown last year on 105 targets was pretty special. If they allow Allen to throw as much as he's going to throw, he's going to be around 100 targets again. And Brown is now facing the second cornerback on a weekly basis as opposed to the top cornerback on a weekly basis. And he is going to run past that guy 10 times out of 10.
So have the Bills become a passing team?
No, but I think they're opening up the offense as we saw last week.
Mm-hmm. 46 passes for Josh Allen against
in a game that they were winning easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they came out throwing. Like, I think each running back had like one carry by close to the 2 minute warning.
Mm-hmm. I think they also had the ball for 41 minutes.
Six carries. Yeah.
Josh Allen has six carries. Now, a lot of this is running, but Josh Allen has faced Miami 4 times in his career. He hasn't had less than 25 fantasy points in all of them, with 3 of them over 30. I mean, he destroys this team.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen?
Rodgers.
Josh Allen for me, but it's close.
Okay. And I think that'll do it.
Running quarterbacks, man, they just are different animals. And the fact that he ran as much as he did and still threw as much as he did, mm-hmm. if this is the Josh Allen we're going to get, Sportsline had him as a top 5 guy. I know for me, I had him 7th, and I feel like it's too low at this point after seeing week 1.
It's the Jets. It's just, you know, it was the Jets.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Dolphins are showing up.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, but this schedule does get tougher later on this year.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does.
And the Dolphins, honestly, might not have that bad of a defense. I mean, I expect them to have a huge game. I got to see the Dolphins have a good defense before I think they have a good defense. But all of the free agent acquisitions they made, they're a much better roster than they were last year.
And again, you can't sit here and say all these offensive guys are going to get better with time and not say the defensive guys when they start to get on the field together as well.
Right.
A lot of good players on that Dolphins defense, but they still have to come together and show you something. Because if Cam at 31 just ran for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns, Josh Allen could go for $175 and 2 touchdowns based on how he's playing.
Yeah, I'm fired up to start him. All right, Atlanta at Dallas. Stat of the game. You got to go back to 2019. The only wide receivers with 70 or more yards against Dallas were these guys. Cody Latimer, Michael Thomas, Robbie Anderson, and now pay attention, Jamison Crowder, Julian Edelman, Jacoby Myers, Cole Beasley, Greg Ward, Steven Sims. Notice a trend there? A lot of slot guys. They were great against outside receivers. They were bad against the slot. Don't see why they'd be much better against the slot this year. I know it's risky to start Russell Gage, but that's your stat of the game. And I don't know. I mean, 14
teams. I like how you
leagues?
Say we have to go back to 2019 as opposed to the week one data that we have.
Well, the thing is, you watch the game. You watch the Rams-Cowboys game. It's not like Robert Woods was running like a lot of conventional, making catches like conventional slot receivers, right? It was very creative stuff. I think it was probably a lot different than what you'd expect from Russell Gage. That's why I didn't really, like, I don't know that there's much of a week-to-week translation there. Woods is just different. And Woods actually had a bad game against Dallas in 2019. But they stunk against the slot. So I don't know. Gage is interesting. But how confident are you in him? Because I know we're starting Julio, Ridley, and Ryan. It's Hurst and Gage. You know, what do you think about them?
Hayden Hurst, actually, I saw this. I think he ran 27 routes from the slot.
Yep.
So, you know,
cool.
They're you know, at some point he's going to get going, and Gage is going to be the one that suffers. At least, you know, that's the hope, because you're clearly starting the other two and hoping they're going to be great. I don't think this Dallas defense is going to be very good. You know, they're just too beat up right now, and they're young in their secondary. So I think you're going to see a scenario of they're all in play. Gage is, you know, we have a lot of wide receiver injuries, you know, from the top guy in Michael Thomas all the way down to everybody else in between. If Cortland Sutton doesn't play again and all these other guys that we're dealing with, A.J. Brown, Galladay, whatever, Gage is a great pickup and play. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback just threw 50 times.
Yeah.
They're not going to – I think they're going to run on Dallas. So I think Gurley's going to have success, because Dallas' run defense, I think, is just not going to be very good. But if they're chasing points because their defense isn't good, then here we go, Matt Ryan again, like we saw last week.
Oh, Bonanza, by the way. Sorry, Bonanza. Huh? Bonanza.
Good call. What was it last week? Or you didn't pick one?
It was Arizona-San Francisco.
Oh, that wasn't horrible.
I think pretty much everyone hit except for Kittle.
Right. He got hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Christian Kirk.
No, he's...
Nah. He's thick. Does he count?
No.
Yes, he counts.
Okay.
Look, I think you're looking at Gage in the same conversation as Scott Miller and Corey Davis, yep, and Danny Amendola and guys that are going to get opportunities and have the chance to be successful. If he's getting 10-plus targets on a weekly basis, he was tied with the other two guys, you know, so that's something you hang your hat on and say, okay, Matt Ryan likes him. They didn't do anything to replace Mohamed Sanu because they clearly feel comfortable with him. He's a third-year receiver, so again, a guy getting more comfortable in his role.
Jamie, if he gets 160 targets this year, you're right. He will have a good.
He'll be pretty good.
Have a good season.
He'll be good. He had a lot of garbage time last week. We'll see if there's going to be a lot of garbage time this week. But I do think Atlanta will trail, and I think Gage could end up getting some good numbers. But I do think this is more of a Hurst week than a Gage week.
Fair enough. So how about this? Just rank the wide receivers. We're starting the running backs. We're starting the quarterbacks. Well, okay, real quick, Dak or Ryan.
Dak. This is a new one. No, Vic or Ryan.
Vic or Ryan.
I've got Ryan.
Okay. They both should be great.
Yeah.
I saw Russell Wilson do what Russell Wilson did last week. I'm starting Dak Prescott against the Falcons without hesitation.
No, fair enough. And so is Dave. Everybody should be. So you don't even have to rank the wide receivers, but Gallup or McLaurin?
Gallup.
I am McLaurin higher.
CeeDee Lamb or Edelman?
I have Edelman one spot ahead in PPR, but Lamb in non-PPR.
I've got Lamb ahead. I think he benefits now with Jarwin out, and I think they can start to game plan that.
CeeDee Lamb or Ronald Jones?
Jones in non-PPR, Lamb in PPR.
Would you start Hayden Hurst over any of these guys? Jared Cook, Jonnu Smith, Dallas Goedert. Let's go with them.
I'd go Hurst over Jonnu.
Okay. Would you start Hurst over Gronkowski?
That's tougher to do if AJ Brown doesn't play.
I might not do that.
I would start Hurst over Gronk.
Washington at Arizona, Hurst or Logan Thomas?
Hurst.
Okay. Anything
Hurst is first.
Anything not obvious here? Start Kyler, start Drake, start Hopkins. We've talked a lot about McLaurin. He's a number two wide receiver, I guess, right? Number two?
Borderline number two, number three.
Okay.
I'm more excited about him than that.
So really it just comes down to the Washington running backs, and Logan Thomas is a decent streamer. Washington running backs and I guess Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I don't feel good about Kirk. And I wouldn't feel so great about a Washington running back either. I don't think you have to go in those directions.
Gibson is the best of the bunch based on what his upside could be. Again, second NFL game. What we saw last week, obviously different offense, but similar style of play caller, is San Francisco's running backs were great in the passing game against Arizona. And so, you know, they schemed up Mostert on Simmons. That was a great play when he had the touchdown. McKinnon scored a touchdown. He was a factor in the passing game. It could be McKissick, so keep that in mind. But Gibson's only going to continue to get better as he gets more comfortable. So I think Gibson's in the flex conversation. And like, I'd start him over the Detroit running backs. I would start him over it's close for me with him and Malcolm Brown, to be honest with you. But I start Brown over him, but they're in the same range. I start Gibson over Sony Michel, you know, if you're looking at it that way. You know, those caliber of guys.
Gibson or the Bills running backs?
I'd start the Bills running backs, but I like the Bills running backs this week, so I'll take the matchup against Miami.
Okay.
That vaunted Dolphins defense?
That vaunted Dolphins defense. Give me Moss. Give me Singletary. Their return to South Florida will be triumphant.
All right. I like it. All right, guys, give me one upset pick.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I think the Rams are road favorites, right?
I think it's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em now. Sorry, can't use it. I got two.
I'm trying to think of the spreads off the top of my head.
I think the Saints could lose. I think the Vegas can beat the Saints. They're 6-point dogs. And I think the Giants have a decent chance against the Bears.
Of course you do.
Well, you don't?
So upset win or carbon spread?
Upset win. I'm looking for a big spread here. There aren't that many options.
Vikings are going to beat the Colts.
No way.
Vikings are going to beat the Colts.
That's only terrible. A 3-point spread, but fair enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't big enough.
Well, that's looking for an upset here. These are touchdown spreads
that's
I'm taking here.
That's technically an upset. Right, what am I going to do? I'm going to take the Broncos to beat the Steelers?
I'm going with the Raiders over the Saints.
Good for you.
Let's bet that, you and me.
No vig.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We got the mailbag on Saturday, and I forgot to do DFS stuff, but we'll talk about that on the mailbag. So that'll be me and Jamie. We'll talk to you then. Make sure you're watching HQ all day Sunday and Twitch at 4 p.m. Eastern and noon Eastern Twitch. We are answering your starting some questions as well. Later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.